Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 19, starting in verse 13, ending in verse 26, where we see that Jesus Christ is madly in love with you. Whoever you are listening to this message today, God wants to show you the depths of His love and reveal Himself to you through today's message. The question is, will you listen? More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13.
He's playing the man's game with him. He says, if you're going to do this thing by the sweat of your brow and the work of your hands, he said, you're going to have to keep all the commandments. And the guy says, and which ones? Jesus responds and he says, well, let's begin with this. You're not supposed to murder. And then you're not supposed to commit adultery. And you're not supposed to steal, and you're not supposed to lie. Let's just begin with those. He says you're also supposed to, in verse 19, honor your father and your mother. And then he adds a bit from Leviticus 19, 18. He says, and by the way, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Let's just begin with the easier ones. This is man and man, not man and God. Let's begin with those. You've got to do those, and you've got to do them perfectly, completely, all of the time, not just outwardly, but inwardly. So not only are you not supposed to take an axe and chop somebody's head off, but you're also supposed to not think about it while you're, you know, having donkey rage and you're on the road. Not only are you supposed to not have sex with another man's wife, but you're absolutely not supposed to undress her in your mind. You're supposed to do these things thoroughly and completely. Let's just begin with this handful of commandments. What must you do? Well, if it's going to be your doing and not your coming like the little children, with childlike faith, not childish faith, but childlike faith, if you're not going to come with faith in God, if you're not going to put it on me and you're going to put it on yourself, well, let's begin with these. These are the things that you've got to do. And the young man says to him, and I don't get down on this guy. People trash him. I just think he's presumptuous, but I think he's sincere. I just think he's sincerely wrong. He says to him here, he's a young man. The Holy Spirit wants us to know that he's a rich man and he's a ruling man. So the fact that he's even coming is outstanding. But this young guy says to him, all these things, Lord, I have kept, he says in the middle of verse 20, from my youth. What do I lack? I've done these things. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't sleep around, Lord. I don't do anything. He's a moralist. Those are the hardest people to win to Christ. The upright people, people that live by integrity, those are the hardest people, more often than not, to win the Christ. They think like I'm so much, their standard is other men. I don't do what so many other people are doing. I genuinely, sincerely try with every ounce of my being to do right. I mean, do you know people like that? Can you think of people like that right now? If you had conversations with them that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, and have you watched them stumble at that? Have you seen their facial expressions? Have you seen them hiccup over that? Because they think to themselves, I'm doing so many good things. They're so stuck on their good deeds. Moralists, they're difficult. Jesus, I've kept all of these things since I was a young boy. And then we miss something that is the climax of the whole story. We don't get it here from Matthew, but we do from Mark, who's influenced by who, church? Peter. It then tells us in Mark's gospel, chapter 10, I think it's verse 21, that Jesus beheld him because he loved him and said to him in something insightful, you lack one thing. Then he says to him what he says in verse 21. Listen, Jesus beheld him, which means that he looked at him with his mind, that he set his thoughts upon him, that everything else around Jesus in that moment of time stopped, that he stared at this guy, at the depths of this man's soul that he created, FaceTime with Jesus Christ, where Jesus is looking at him. He beheld him. It's not just to catch a glimpse. He was staring at him. And as he was looking at him, he was beholding him. Mark tells us he did this because he loved him. It's agape love. It's John 3:16 love. It's for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It was that love that Jesus had for this man who he loved. His sin, his shortcomings, his arrogance, his moralism, all of those things do not keep Jesus from fully loving him. Just like it doesn't keep Jesus from fully loving you. Whoever you are in the room this morning, whatever you brought with you to church today, whatever it is that is an issue in your life according to God's estimation, and it's got to go, whatever that is, it doesn't prevent Jesus from loving you fully and completely. Maybe you've not heard that in a really long time. Maybe you've been in a legalistic church, a pharmaceutical church. Maybe you've been getting beaten down by Bible thumpers, and you need to be told today this. This is the greatest theology that you will ever lock hold of. Jesus Christ is madly in love with you. He gave his life for you. He beholds this young guy. Jesus himself is a young man in his early 30s. He's my age. And he beholds this other young man. And he does it because he loves him. The word love there, beyond agape, beyond unconditional, beyond John 3:16, it means to be fond of. It means to admire, to like. It's a welcoming love. It's a love where it's like, I want to hang with you. I want to be with you. That love had to have pierced this man. There's no way it didn't. You've looked in the eyes of somebody before who was crossing you, rebuking you, but they were doing it in love, and you know what I'm talking about. The love of a parent, the love of a pastor, the love of a true friend, and they're telling you you're in error, you're wrong. You know what that type of look is that they give to you. In fact, if you don't want to move from your erroneous ways, you don't want to look at them because their look is so piercing. Do you know what I'm speaking of this morning? This is love itself. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. This is love itself, looking in this man's face with love, beholding him, and he says to him, there's one thing that you lack that is keeping you from God. There's one thing, he says, go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor. Never again do we have Jesus telling anybody else this in Scripture. Because why? Why? Because this was personal. And then he says, you come and you follow me. That's universal. Do you understand that this morning? There's one thing in your life that's got to go. Maybe not for anybody else. And you guys got to hear this morning too. This is your word today. We've been building context. This is your daily bread. Jesus Christ, with love, looks in his people's eyes like he did this rich young ruler. And he has the right, because he's full of love for you. If you're wondering why, because he's full of love for you. He has the right to look you in the eyes and say to you, there's one thing in your life right now that's got to go. It might be a thing that gets to stay in other people's lives. Riches are not bad. In this instance, since we're speaking of money, they're not bad. In fact, rich people could do a lot for the kingdom of God. It's not that this man had possessions. You've heard it said. It said his possessions had him. Abraham was rich. David was rich. There are so many men in the Bible who were rich. And Nehemiah was rich. God uses rich people greatly. We need rich people in the kingdom of God. It's that this other thing kept him from the main thing. It's that this good thing became an idol thing because it was in the wrong place. This good thing became a God thing. And this other thing was in the way of the main thing, God himself. And Jesus put his finger on it. He says, this is the thing in your life, maybe not anybody else's life on all the hillside here, but in your life that it's got to go. It's a stumbling block to you. And if you want to have deeper fellowship with me, listen to this. If you want to have a less hypocritical relationship with me, a more real relationship, something that is deeper than you keeping laws, if you want to move from the legal thing to a relationship thing, if you want to have some type of intimacy with God himself, then this is the thing that you've got to do right now. Oh, by the way, Jesus always speaks in real time. It's always what you've got to do right now. He doesn't give you words, I don't believe, primarily, that are for tomorrow or next week or next year. When he speaks to you and he pierces your heart, it's right now. You've got to do this thing right now, unless he gives you a timeline that is different. When it's a thing of sin, when it's a thing of hindering you and your walk with God, it's a thing that you got to act on immediately, why his love is piercing you. Let me tell you why. Because the minute you walk away, we are so messed up, our hearts begin to harden. And the Holy Spirit, he loses that effect that he had upon us in that moment of time. It begins to diminish and get easier to turn away from the longer that we allow time to lapse. Isn't that true? I'm speaking life right now. That's truth. If you don't act on what the Holy Spirit tells you to do in that moment when his eyes of love are locked upon you and he's piercing you with truth, the depths of your soul, if you don't act on it right there and then, it only gets easier not to do what he asks you to do. He says, this is personal. You go and you sell regardless of what anybody else is doing and give it all to the poor because your money is your God. Y'all want to know what your God is? Follow your money. You want to know what your God is? Follow your money. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It could be a good thing in the wrong place. A good thing that turned into a God thing. It could become an idol in your life. And what he does here is what he did to Abraham in Genesis 22. Abraham, offer me your son, your only son. You know what's amazing about the Lord? When Abraham did that, God gave him his son back. I believe that if this guy said, you've got it, Jesus, this is so illuminating, this is so revelating, I had no clue that my money had a hold of me the way that it does, I'm going to do this, this is good for me, you're right, I think Jesus would have said, you don't need to, come and follow me. Jesus never will take from you that which is good for you. And if he takes anything from you and he allows you time longer on earth after he takes it, I think he replaces it with what's better for you in the long run. What is it maybe in your life today that Jesus would say to you, deal with it? It's keeping you from more Holy Spirit. It's keeping you from greater faith. It's keeping you from deeper peace. It's keeping you from more intimacy with the King. What is it in your life today that maybe Jesus would have put his finger on? He's not doing it in anybody else's life, but he's doing it in yours right now. This specific item, what is it that maybe he would say to you today? It's not good for you. It's not profitable for you. It's not allowing you to fully follow me the way that I want you to. What is it in your life today that Jesus would say, you got to lay it down? Is it self-righteousness? Is it being judgmental? We think of deep, dark sins. We think it's alcohol, smoking pot, you know, abusing Percocet and Valium and Oxycontin and having sex outside of marriage and pornography. And maybe it is those things. Maybe you got to go home and throw the computer out the window. Maybe you got to go home and you've got to make yourself accountable to your spouse. Maybe it's those things. Maybe it has to do with the, you know, the liquor cabinet or whatever it would be that has bondage over you. You can't generalize it for the whole body of Christ. You can't say anybody who drinks is going to go to hell. The Bible doesn't say that. Just like the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. I hate when people misquote that. It's the love of money supremely that's the root of all evil. By money, the world goes round. God uses money for his kingdom. Don't put a trip on people because Jesus is dealing with you in that area. For some of us, Christian people, I'm not doing a crusade today. I'm speaking to the church. For some of us, what's keeping us from going deeper with Jesus and having more intimacy with Jesus, it's inward things. It's a critical, judgmental spirit. It's a self-righteous spirit. It's a racial prejudice thing that has developed within us. It's those things that they're sort of hidden. We don't see them. We're like the rich young ruler. We're like, man, we're doing everything right. Jesus says, no, there's one thing. And this one thing is keeping you from the main thing. And it's personal. Unless you give me your ear and you look in my eyes the way that I'm looking in your eyes, you're never going to get it. Listen to my still small voice. This is the thing. Personal, but here's what's universal to the bride of Christ. All of you now, come follow me. Well, this guy walks away sorrowful. We don't have any record in the Gospels of him ever coming back and following Jesus. He can't do it. Why? Because his riches were great. For you, maybe it's because the sex is great, because the pleasure is great, because the high is great. Because the rage is great. Because the pride is great. I don't know what it is for you. I know there are all sorts of things. It ain't one thing for me. It's many things for me that Jesus put in his finger on in my life. I'm seeking to deal with them one by one. I'm itemizing them with him. By the help of the Holy Spirit, and I'm seeking to move through them. I'm trying to be a better husband, a better father, a more faithful pastor. I'm trying to be more than just a religious zealot that can quote scripture like the back of my hand. I'm trying to be somebody who knows Jesus in a greater way. I don't know what your one thing is, but I know that if you have the Spirit of God living within you, He loves you with agape love the way that He loved this man with agape love. And He'll tell you if you'll give Him your ear. This guy says, I can't do it. You put your finger, Lord, on a nerve in my life that sends shockwaves through my body. I can't do it. This is too much. I'm out of here. And he walks away sorrowful. Listen, if you walk away this morning without doing what he tells you to do, you too will walk away sorrowful. Let me tell you why, because that's the gift of God in your life. He loves you. He's not going to allow you, child of God, to live in sin and compromise. That is not a God of love. He's going to make sure that the hole in your soul remains. He's going to make sure that there isn't pleasures forevermore out there. He's not going to bless any activity in your life that is displeasing to him. That's his way of wooing you back. He's not going to bless the relationship. He's not going to bless the dishonesty. He's not going to bless the loftiness and the pride and the secret sin. He's never going to bless it. He doesn't wink at it. He doesn't excuse it and dismiss it. He puts his finger on it, and he demands, this is non-negotiable. This has to go. And then it's up to you with what you want to do, but it's the gift of God for you to have ulcers over it. It's the gift of God for you to have anxiety. It's the gift of God for you to have deep depression in your life, because he is showing you that hole in your soul, that vacuum within you, is meant to be there. It's God putting eternity there, and only the eternal God can fill it and fix it and make it complete. His story was written. His story is written. As far as we know, his story is done. He's in the likes of, listen to me, of Judas, of Pilate, of Agrippa, of Felix, of Demas. Guys who were right there at the threshold of their saving faith. Men who were enlightened but never partook. Men who were right there, like my toes are on the edge of the stage. They were right there. They had everything going on. The outward crowd would look and say, this guy, if there's such thing as perfection, he's it. If there's such thing as somebody who has it all together, he's rich, he's young, he's a ruler. Everybody wants those things in life. If anybody is the closest to perfection, it's him. And God Almighty says, there's one thing. And he turns to his guys, which is us this morning. And he says the same thing twice. Moms and dads, you tell your kid the same thing twice. You do it for emphasis. Don't do this. I said, don't do this. You get their attention that way. Jesus says, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven is like a camel, the biggest animal known in their day, with humps, is like getting a camel through the eye of a needle. Matthew and Mark speak of a sewing needle. Luke, who's a doctor, speaks of a surgical needle. Either which way, it's where you get the thread through, and it's a very, very small loop. And either which way, it's ridiculous, and it's even impossible for that to happen apart from a miracle. You're not going to get somebody who has all the glitter of what appears to be gold, but it's not really gold at all. You're not going to get somebody who has everything that they need and everything all together and perfect in their life to come to God out of desperation and humility, the way that the children came to God, helpless, apart from him bearing them up in his arms. You're not going to get a man that is lofty and highly regarded to act like a child to come to the kingdom apart from the saving faith of God, the accompanying, the aiding of God. For with men, all things are impossible, but with God, everything is possible. The accompanying of God, the aiding of God, the saving grace and faith of God that is instilled in a person's life, but they still have to act it out. Jesus gave everything this man needed to enter, to cross that threshold. The man said, I'm not doing it. Free will. Biggest blessing, biggest curse. It's up to you, sir. How does a rich man enter the kingdom? Don't get stuck on this. The camel entering through the eye of a needle. That could happen. You'd have to put him in the blender for quite some time. It'd take months, maybe a year, but you can get that camel through. How does a rich man enter the kingdom? The same way that a poor man does. The emphasis here is just simply this. A man who thinks he's got everything going on, it's harder for him to see his need. That's all that it is. It really doesn't have anything to do with dollar signs. There's plenty of godly rich people. A rich man, a poor man, they enter the kingdom of God when the love of God is shined abroad in their life. And it's irresistible, and they still resist and walk away. This is a sad story, isn't it? I'm so thankful for Peter, who will break the ice next week. He'll say, Lord, we gave everything up, and we followed you. What do we get? Thank God for Peter. But we don't have time to talk about him right now. We gotta save our laughing for next week. We've got to deal with the one thing that Jesus is putting his finger on right now. Time is up. The worship team is going to come, and we're going to just go before the Lord. We're going to allow the Lord, not me, the Lord. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to walk off the stage. The team's going to lead us in a song. We're going to allow the Lord to reveal to us, Lord, is there a one thing in my life? Is there a one thing in my life that is keeping me from doing the Mary thing? Mary and Martha. Remember when Jesus comes over for dinner? Remember there's this whole scene there where the sisters have Jesus over for dinner, and one is at his feet, lavishing themselves in their self in his love, and the other one is busy in the kitchen cooking dinner. And Martha is so frustrated because Mary is at the feet of Jesus, just enjoying his presence. And Jesus says there, Martha, Martha, you're concerned about all these other things that will always be, but your sister, she's chosen the one thing that is needful right now. The one thing that is needful. That was the one thing that this man was missing. Just the one thing. Is there a one thing in your life this morning that's keeping you from intimacy with the Lord, from deeper waters with the Lord, from more Holy Spirit? Just get before him in this closing song. Whatever your posture may be, if you need to stay seated, if you want to stand and raise your hands, you do what you want. Daniel will dismiss you at the close of it. But you just say, Jesus, I don't want to walk away heavy-hearted today. I don't want to leave church dismayed. I don't want to leave church flustered because I still didn't accept your invitation, Lord. I want to obey today. I want to come and follow you a little bit closer today. I want to close the gap a little bit more today, Lord. What's that one thing, or what are the many things, God? Itemize them, Lord. Lead me through. Lead me through. Father, we look to you this morning. You are such a gracious and kind God. You are so good and quick to forgive. You're forbearing and long-suffering, and you're gentle and approachable, and we are grateful to you for giving us stories like these to help us understand your heart for humanity. And we ask you, Lord, that you would now shine your searchlight, the searchlight of your word, on the depths of our being, Lord, and show us the one thing or the many things, God, that need to be adjusted or ousted in our lives so that we can come and follow you. We could take up our cross, Lord, and follow you and pursue you with all that we have. Draw us now by your kindness, your goodness, so that we might have intimacy with you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.